Right. Hi, good morning. Welcome to my GStreamer talk. First of all, hi, I'm Tim. I work on GStreamer. GStreamer, you might ask. What is GStreamer? It's a multimedia framework. It's cross-platform. It's open source, free software. It means, you know, it does anything you would expect from a multimedia framework. It does audio processing, video processing, subtitles, captions, metadata. And you can do exciting stuff with it. And you can chunk it, stop it, you know, chop it around. You can edit it. You can decode it, encode it. You can stream it, read it from file, write it to a file, mix it, do apply effects, you know, whatever your heart desires, basically. Run analytics, that sort of thing. All right, so what have we been up to? I've got way too many slides, by the way. This is more like the speed dating equivalent of a talk. We released a new major feature release, 1.28. We have one of those every 9 to 12 months. And this one is brand new, was released just a couple of days ago. Release notes are on the website. If you haven't read them yet, you're not the only ones. But you can see loads of features. And I'm going to walk through, you know, some of the bits we've been working on. There's way too much stuff. And I should also say, you know, I'll keep it very, very high level, just sort of to whet your appetite to see if there's something that's of interest, and then you can dive into the release notes. Or you can check out the GStreamer conference talks. The videos are all online, and you know, you have lots of great talks about all of these topics here in much, much more detail. Number one, codecs. We've got support for more codecs. H.266 is the latest MPEG codec. Then we've got enhancement codecs, LCEVC, sort of like a multi-layer codec thing. We've got support for that. We used to have H.264 already, and now we've got the enhancement layers in combination with H.265 and H.266 as well, and we can decode and encode that. MPEG-H audio is a new audio codec from the Fraunhofer people. And we've got support for that as well now, plus muxing and demuxing into the MP4 container. There has been a whole bunch of work around ancillary metadata. So that can be captions, sort of in, you know, broadcasting captions that you see at the bottom of your TV, but it can also be generic metadata. All kinds of metadata is sent around. That's sort of quite important in broadcasting workflows. So if you watch like a football game or something, you might have, for example, you know, the game score as a metadata in the stream and things like that. You can put anything in there. And we've got whole, you know, infrastructure around that. So you can, you know, attach it to buffers in the pipeline, you can split it out, and you can write it into the MXF container, which is used for, you know, film and movie production workflows. You can capture it on sort of Decklink capture cards, and you can send it out again. And you can send it over RTP with a new payload, as the payloads we have. RTMP is sort of, it's a really old protocol. It's kind of the workhorse for, you know, ingesting a stream into like a streaming server. Unfortunately, it just doesn't go away. It surely should, but it doesn't. Everyone uses it. So the container format that's used underneath is FLV, and it is really bad and old, but, you know, as I said, it sticks around. So, but people, it only has a very limited range of codec support, but people want to continue using it. So, you know, there's like an enhanced RTMP FLV spec now, so you can actually put modern video codecs into FLV, like H.265 and AV1, and you can actually have more than one audio track. You can have multiple audio tracks and multiple video tracks, so it's all very exciting for those of you who still use RTMP, and we support that in GStreamer now. Although I should say, I think the AV1 support is not actually merged yet. I think that's in GitLab, but it needs a rebase on top of the latest code. You can create HLS streams with GStreamer. Basically, just, you know, write stuff into a file directory, files and playlists, and you can point your web server to it and just, you know, serve it to a web browser. We've got support for a single media file output now, in which this is quite, you know, quite useful if you just create a stream for video on demand, sort of live stream, and then you don't have to manage like, you know, a million little stream fragments files, but, you know, you can just have one file, and the playlist will just sort of point into the chunks of the file, which is much, much easier to handle. And you can also write iframe-only playlists for seeking and like trick modes, fast forward, fast reverse playback, things like that. There's a lot of work going on around speech to text conversion, text translations into a different language, and also speech synthesis. So you can pick up the audio, convert it to text, translate it in a different language, and then have that generated again into audio and feed it out. You write it into a file or stream it out, basically. So then you've got a translated audio track. You can do exciting things with that. Well, exciting and slightly scaring, but you can do things like voice cloning. So you can clone Tom Cruise's voice and then translate it, and then he speaks Spanish and it sounds like Tom Cruise just speaking perfect Spanish. So we support lots of stuff in that area, and it's under heavy development. And also cool stuff like if you translate things, then often it takes more time for the translated language than it takes in the original, right? And you kind of have a problem because either you go out of sync or you kind of have to drop stuff somewhere. So we can speed up the audio if you detect like it goes out of sync because the translated language just takes longer, then we can speed it up and then it catches up and you get back into sync again. It sounds a bit funny, but it works. Yes. Also, if you're into karaoke, we also have an audio source separation element that's based on DMux, which is like a library engine that's often used for that sort of thing. That's useful for karaoke, but also if you have like a stream where you want to filter out the background audio and you just want the voice, right? So you can then run speech detection on that voice and translate it. So it helps with that as well. Analytics, you might have been to Daniel's talk yesterday in the Open Media Dev Room. We've got a lot of support for object detection, inference, all of that. We've got, that is an area that's being worked on quite a lot. We've got more inferencing elements. We've got more support in Onyx in the runtime. More metas, tensor decoders. They can be auto-plugged now as well. And we have a batch meta plus splitter and combiner elements for that. That existed already because, with the analytics stuff, everyone used to do their own thing. NVIDIA have their own thing. Intel has their own thing. Amazon have their own thing. So, the hope is sort of to provide basic infrastructure upstream, and then maybe in 10, 20 years, the other people can move towards that as well. Hope dies last. Vulkan. Vulkan is like the latest and greatest sort of low-level video API for rendering, but it's also got Vulkan Video, which can be used for hardware-accelerated decoding and encoding. We've got support for more decoders, AV1 and VP9 in particular, H.264 encoders, and the H.265 decoder can do HDR now with 10-bit decoding. Qt QML integration, the Qt toolkit, of course, so we've got various elements for that. We've got QML5 elements for that as well, but Qt6 is what we're working on at the moment. So there's a new render source element, so you can render a scene and have that be captured into the pipeline as a video, basically. And there's a GL overlay, so you can overlay something on top of a video using the GL rendering, basically, and you can now not only have a scene graph description, but you can actually put a Qt quick item in there, which gives you more flexibility. Wayland is basically what you render to on a modern Linux desktop, hopefully. So the color, there's been a lot of work on the color management side of things, HDR support, all of that. Very exciting, also a new full screen output property. Traditionally, we haven't added these because we think it should be done via the API, but we relented. So there you have it. There's something called UDMA buff support. DMA buffs are basically the a way how you send video buffers very efficiently between subsystems of the kernel. And UDMA buff is basically like a user mappable variant of that. And that's quite useful if you have your software decoding, like you might need to do AV1 software decoding if you don't have a hardware accelerated AV1 decoder. And then you can avoid some memory copies if you can use UDMA buffs. So we have support for that. If you're using GNOME, you might notice that, I don't know, you probably know Totem, maybe, and it's finally getting replaced as a new media player, video player in GNOME. It's called Showtime, and it uses all the cool new stuff we have added in the last few years. So it's all very efficient, zero copying, output via Vulkan, OpenGL, and UDMA buff support. And it uses something called GDK4 Paintable Sync, which is based on GDK4, the toolkit that GNOME uses, and that lives in the Rust plugins. So you can use that as well in the application. And it's all very nice. And it looks very slick as well, compared to Totem. AMD HIP. HIP is sort of, it's very similar to CUDA. It's like, for graphics programming, pixel modifications, basically. But the idea is that with HIP is that, CUDA is NVIDIA specific. So if you don't have NVIDIA hardware, then it doesn't buy you anything. So HIP is very, very similar, basically. But the idea is that if you run on AMD hardware, it uses the ROCm underlying ROCm engine, and that works perfectly. And if you're running on NVIDIA hardware, there will be like a very thin translation layer, and then it will run on CUDA, basically. So you get like the best of both worlds in with two of the biggest graphic card vendors out there. So we've got a plugin for that, and we've got a few elements that do all the usual things, like conversions, scaling, etc. Language bindings. So GStreamer is written in C and Rust, but you can use it from lots of different languages. So it's perfectly fine. You can write your application in Python, in Ruby, and Rust, C of course, C++, whatever your heart desires, because we've got language bindings for most of these languages. First of all, we've got new Go bindings, new-ish Go bindings, but I think they're much more usable and mature now. They're called GoGST. They're externally maintained, but I think they're quite good. And quite exciting as well for some people who are not quite ready to jump on the Rust bandwagon yet is the C++ bindings. We used to have C++ bindings, but they're all kind of bit rotten and no one maintains them anymore. We had two sets, actually, and they're both not maintained anymore. But there's still lots of people who want to write C++. But there are now new C++ bindings based on a new sort of infrastructure in GNOME called PEAR, and they're headers-only bindings, and they don't use the STL and all of that. Very cool. Yeah, lots of Python bindings improvements, Rust bindings, of course. Please remember, we love Rust, so if you love Rust, please come join us. Fallback source is like an element that sort of allows you to have a fallback source. You have a primary stream, and then it drops out for some reason. The network goes away. Your card doesn't deliver anymore. Your signal goes away from your capture card. Then you can sort of switch to a background stream, and then if the primary signal comes back, you can switch back, etc. But before, that only worked for raw audio video, uncompressed audio video. So now it can also handle encoded output, which makes it much more flexible. And you can, if you have multiple streams in your backup file, you can select which streams you want to use for the backup. Miscellaneous other bits. We've got a new element for VMAF. VMAF is a framework by Netflix, and it basically tries to give like a perceptual video quality score for your video. So if you encode the video, then you can basically decode it and see like, well, how would that framework rate the encoding? How would a human perceive the encoding? Is it good? Is it not good? And you can get some metrics for things. So quite interesting. We've got a new plugin for that. A new WebKit plugin as well that uses the embedded WebKit platform API, which I think gives you more acceleration support, OpenGL, and some other bits. And super exciting, because I wrote it, a new Icecast Sync element with AAC support. It's similar to Shoutcast, Shout2Send, but Shout2Send, they're not going to add AAC support ever because it's a proprietary format, not proprietary, but royalty, patent royalty encumbered. So they're not going to add that, but we did add that. And it's written in Rust. What else? Tracing and debugging, lots of work going on there. If you've ever used we have a mechanism to dump pipeline graphs as a so-called dot file, and then you can render it into an SVG or a PNG, and you can see like a beautiful, you know, like what your pipeline looks like, basically. Which is very cool, but it's also very tedious. But we've got a cool new feature where you can basically just beam these things to a web browser, and you know, then you just say like, I want a new graph, and then it just pops up in your web browser, and you can click on it, and yeah, lots of stuff there. Very cool. Also, for those who are writing plugins, we've got a sort of our logging system is very very chatty, and we've got more mechanisms now, basically to fine-tune the logging output a little bit, because sometimes you get a lot of spam, like some kind of warning is repeated like a million times just because you have some packet lost somewhere, and then it just, you know, clutters your logs, and you don't want that. So we kind of have a mechanism now. We can say like, you know, don't print this more than once, once a second, or you know, only print it once ever, things like that. So we can reduce that log message spam a little bit. So if you suffer from that, let us know so we can look at the code in question and maybe make use of that new API. GStream Editing Services is a library that basically provides you what you would need to, you know, for a video editor, basically. Lots of work going on there in recent times, and lots of new features, and also performance improvements. It's got new APIs to sort of manage threads better, so that you know video elements can share threads if you do video processing and scaling and all of that. We are cross-platform, so we don't just support Linux. We support Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, etc. On Windows, Direct 3D12 has seen lots of new elements and lots of performance improvements. We've got a compositor, a fish ID warp, a UV remap, and an interlace element. There's also like a Windows IPC element, so you can actually send you could use that to send raw video buffers and audio buffers to a different process on your system. So you can split up pipelines, and you can, you know, have different applications that run independently, and if one crashes, you know, the other still works. But that only used to handle uncompressed video audio, and actually I'm not sure if it handled audio, but it handled uncompressed video. But now you can send anything over as basically that's been made generic, which is quite cool. There are about a trillion audio APIs on Windows, and we support all of them. But now we basically worked on our WASAPI support and made that really great. So it's got dynamic audio device switching. It's got more exclusive mode features, more negotiation features. So we're basically switching only to that now. So the device provider will only advertise these devices if you use it in an app. Apple, macOS, and iOS, we've got more hardware-accelerated decoding, video decoding, more encoding features, can do HDR now. And we have something called navigation event handling, so if you have, you know, like mouse pointer movement across the video window, you can send that through the pipeline, and other bits of the pipeline can do things like render menus, or, you know, if you have a streamer web browser, then you can interact with your web browser that you render, things like that. So we support that now. Android, the hardware-accelerated video bit has seen some love. Servo is sort of a meta-build system we have that we use to produce binary packages for Windows, Android, macOS, etc. Because on these systems, you can't just install all the plugins and the libraries that we need depend on. So we have to build everything ourselves and put that. So that's what Servo does. we have a new Windows installer. So it might not look like 1980s anymore, which is nice. We've got an ARM64 support on Windows now. We will provide Python wheels on macOS and Windows, so you can just install GStreamer using pip, basically, which is quite cool to get started. And we also ship GDK4. So if you are a GDK4 hacker and you want to use it on Windows or Mac, you can use that now and use binary packages. All right, I have a few minutes. What's coming up? Lots of Rust things. As I said, we love Rust. We add lots of new things in the Rust plugins. That's where most of the cool stuff happens. Yeah, apart from the analytics things, of course. Media over Quick or Mock. I don't know if it's called like that anymore, but it's sort of, you know, the idea is WebRTC is very, very complicated, so they made new things called Mock, and it's, yeah, quite exciting. But I think the stack is still very much in flux, but we have support for that. It's not merged yet, but it's in GitLab. So hopefully that will land soon. We're porting more things to Rust. WebRTC stack is going to go Rust. We've got the ICE bits already. LibRice is a Rust library, which also has a C wrapper. We're going to drive the new Rust RTP stack further, which has been sponsored by the Sovereign Tech Fund a few years ago. More RTP payloads are going to be ported, and in general, we're trying to improve scalability so you can run more pipelines in parallel, like you know, thousands, tens of thousands of pipelines. MPEG-TS goes Rust as well. We're working on a complete rewrite of the MPEG-TS demuxer, which will sort of hopefully you know, improve reliability, especially when there are sort of changes in the timing, the time domain, the clock changes. If program switches happen, or you know, we want to make that much smoother so there are no desyncs or sort of little glitches or anything. Should be fine, literally. More analytics stuff coming, especially you know, like video formats for sciencey people, geointelligence, all of that. They like you know, fancy things, floating point numbers, complex numbers, signed integers, so you can run analytics on these things. That's coming up. Daniel is working on that. We have more speech and translation features hopefully coming up. We support a lot of cloud services. Some of those you can run on site, Speechmatics, but it's still proprietary and you interact with it using some API. It's just that the API sits on your own network and not on some other network, but you know, it's still, I mean, we're open source people, we kind of want open source stuff. So I think, yeah, the new focus will be on local processing. So you can actually run speech detection and translation, et cetera, on your own computer, on your local system. So you know, things like Whisper, et cetera, I think will be next. More formats, of course, AV2. Supposedly it was supposed to be out at the end of last year, but I'm sure it's coming. HDR 10 plus support is coming for H.265 and AV1. Playback stack, some improvements, a time shift element, lots of people want that. Multi-URI inputs, so you can have not just, you could have like multiple subtitle streams, for example, multiple subtitle files as input. So lots of changes there. Tracing and debugging, there's support for something that in the Rust world, there's something called the tracing crate, so we'll have more integration for that. And also hopefully, you know, we'll have something like, so you can do per pipeline debugging, or per bin debug logging, because currently, if you enable the debug log, it just debug logs for everything in your process. And if you run 20 pipelines, it will drop 20 pipelines, the debug logs for 20 pipelines on you, and that's not always great. So hopefully, you know, we find ways to fine-tune that. More things coming up, tvOS, watchOS, and visionOS support. Shouldn't be too hard to add, I've been told. And support for digitally signed content. And that's all I've got. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cool. So any questions? Can you put your hand up? Excellent. And we pass the microphone so the people online and being recorded can pick this up.
So, yeah, you mentioned we're adding support for HIP. But which is an abstraction of CUDA. But is there the equivalent of a CUDA stream, and are we planning to have an integration for that in the pipeline when you have multiple elements that are daisy chains? So, yeah.
Sorry, I think I only caught half of the question. Are you asking about the HIP part or the CUDA stream part?
The HIP part. Are we going to have the equivalent of this in HIP and?
I don't know, to be honest. You have to ask Simba. I'm not sure what his plans exactly are.
Yes, hello. I have a question about the Vulkan video stuff. So we're using web GPU, the Rust WGPU GPU crate to render. And right now we're letting GStreamer create an OpenGL context for us. And we, in the future, would like to go all Vulkan, so the whole pipeline is Vulkan. Is that possible now from 128, or is there still stuff we need to wait for?
I don't know. I'm not an OpenGL Vulkan person.
All right.
I want to give you wrong information, but... Sorry?
Who should we ask?
Matthew Waters, Sebastian Dröger, Sunga, Fibson, Windows.
We'll jump on the matrix.
All right, sounds good. See you there.
Any more questions? Pascal again, thank you.
The other side of the room again.
Thank you.
And yeah, that's the link where all the GStreamer conference talks are. So have a browse there. Lots of cool stuff.
I thought the speech to text and translation things running locally sounds very interesting and promising. Is there a timeline for that?
I mean, I think the first bits are going to land very, very soon, like weeks rather than months. And then there's always more to do, I guess. It's a little bit tricky because you have to, I mean, just, you know, on the Whisper side, and it's not just the detection, but you wanted low latency as well. It's a bit tricky to make that work.
But. So are there any plans to make simpler command line tools? So for example, with ffmpeg, you just type ffmpeg, input file, and then output file with the right extension, it would do the right thing with just saying default. I don't know if there is already something like that with GStreamer. I know that GST launch allows it, but with complex syntax.
Ish. I mean, some of these exist already. So there's something called GST transcoder, which allows you to, you know, basically for the transcoding use case to have a simpler pipeline syntax. If that doesn't work for you, then there is the GES launch bit for the editing services, so you can do everything GES, the editing services library, can do. But otherwise, you know, write new tools for specific use cases and submit them. But I mean, I think it's a good goal. It's just that, you know, no one has done it yet.
I have one question about the synchronicity of the different streams. So if GStreamer can accumulate so many streams, for example, captions or other metadata, how synchronized are they with the real image data, and is there some guarantee that GStreamer cares for, or how is it working?
We have a very, very good sort of timing and synchronization model. So it's basically, you know, if your input is good, it will be perfectly synchronized. So, I mean, you know, we have clocks in the pipeline, we have the timestamps, you can attach metadata to buffers. So, I mean, everything will be perfectly synchronized as long as, you know, the right timestamps are put on things. And the, you know, the elements sort of honor the chosen clock for the pipeline. So it should always be perfect, but the rest is a bug.
So if I have, for example, some metadata attached to specific frames, can I be sure they will arrive at the same frame at the receiving side?
Yeah, I mean, if it's attached to the frame, then it will always, you know, be carried with the frame.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
All right. Probably out of time now.